Death. After 30 years, they're also proud to have become the largest locally owned provider of tires and ASC certified auto repair in the entire valley, with locations in Fresno, Clovis, Sanger, Visalia. Take it from Mario Andretti.
Come see my friends at Good Guys Tire and Auto Repair.
Bulldogs have a long tradition of community support, and so does Central Valley Community Bank, unchanged since our opening in 1980. Here's President and CEO Dan Doyle.
We're unchanged in our core values. We're unchanged in our commitment to this community. We're unchanged in our willingness and desire to help grow businesses and the community.
Bring your business to Central Valley Community Bank and build a relationship with responsive bankers who have the lending expertise to help you grow and succeed. Central Valley Community Bank. Strong, solid, unchanging. Equal FDIC.
I'm Jim Winton.
And I'm Michael Winton. At Winton's Pharmacies, we are celebrating 75 years of free delivery to your home or office.
That's right, Michael. 75 years of free delivery to your home or office.
Why stand in line and wait for your prescriptions when they can be delivered to your home or office?
Call Winton's Vista Pharmacy at Tulare and Cedar across from Roosevelt High School.
Or Winton's Professional Pharmacy at Herndon and Millbrook, east of St. Agnes Hospital.
See us on the internet at wintonsrx.com. Happy birthday, Michael.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Winton's Pharmacies, we deliver.
Winton,
when it
good
comes to making
pharmacy.
Things happen on the gridiron, the Bulldogs are exciting and getting better all the time. You know what? So is Table Mountain Casino, now with more room to play, more ways to win, more top-name entertainment than ever before. From hot slots to hot performers, there's no place better than Table Mountain Casino. Just a few minutes north on Bryant. Exciting, you bet.
Back here at Biden Field, Paul Leffler with you on News Talk 580 KMJ. Time to talk to Coach Mike Batesel, thanks to Sequoia Chevrolet at 11th and Academy in Sanger, where you'll never be treated better. Coach, a lot of guys left it out on the field today. Justin Miller was outstanding in the start with six scoreless. Chris Tomlinson got a huge out for you. Brandon Burke, two clutch innings in relief. Had some great defensive plays like Hedstrom diving in center field. And then in the ninth, Mendoza gets aboard. Overland comes up huge, nearly ends it off the wall and left. And talk about a game of inches. Overland easily could have hit it over the wall. It was close. Hedstrom was within a couple feet of ending it down the right field line. But in the end, the team just didn't finish it. How hard was this one to swallow out there this afternoon?
Yeah, it was a good college baseball game. You know, both teams pitched exceptionally well. And I liked the way our guys played catch. We played good defense in the infield and a couple nice plays in the outfield. Sesdorf made a real nice play in left center also. And, you know, sometimes you go to war, and it's tough to beat any team four times, and we came about as close as you can get.
You think this keeps a little bit of an edge on this team and makes you that much more hungry as you get to Sacramento next weekend? Your lead's either going to be one game or two. Right now it's 10-9 Sac State in the seventh in Reno, so who knows what's going to happen there. I guess in the end you guys control your own destiny, and that's the way you want it, right?
That's the way you want it. If you want to draw it up, you'd like to go in the last weekend in control, and that's exactly where we're at.
What did it mean for Justin Miller today? Because he's coming off back-to-back difficult starts. Yesterday had the relief outing where he came out a little rocky. You went out there and focused him. He had a good inning yesterday. And today, you talk about pitching out of trouble. I mean, he defined that this afternoon.
Yeah, he had a good slider. He had to find it. He didn't have it early, but once he found it, he was pretty good. And you know, we wanted to keep his pitch count somewhere around 60 or 70. I think he got a little close to 80 because he kept telling me he was fine. He wanted to keep going out there, but we had to keep it down because he threw yesterday. But that's exactly what he needed going into next weekend for sure.
You know, we all expected Tanner Sheppers to throw today. He wasn't out there. Is he okay? Why did he not take the mound today?
Yeah, he'll be fine. We're just setting him up for next weekend.
Will you throw him on Friday against Sac State or still hold him back till Sunday?
We're going to evaluate this today, and you know, we'll get to next weekend sometime later tonight.
What do all these seniors mean? I mean, it's rare. I don't remember a team that you've had that had this many seniors on it, and you see them all out there with their moms before the game. I know you're focused in on baseball as much as any other skipper in the game, but do you find yourself getting a little sentimental when you see those guys going out there for the last time?
Yeah, we've been through a lot with this group. You know, they've come through. They've changed a lot of things around here. They've got some championships underneath their belt academically. They've done a phenomenal job, both in turning our APR into a real positive, and they're all going to graduate. Like we talked about on the pregame show, we'll have a couple of them graduate this semester. All of them will graduate within a semester of next fall, actually, they'll all graduate, and that's what it's all about. It's college baseball, and if we can keep these guys moving in the right direction, getting it done in the classroom and getting it done on the field, that's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Well, I know they still have some more memories to make on the field. They'll be in Sacramento and in Ruston and maybe in a regional somewhere across the United States. So we look forward to all those memories. Coach, thanks for taking time for us today, and hang in there. Go get them Friday in Sacramento.
You bet. Thanks, Paul.
It's Mike Batesel with us on the postgame show after a 2-1 San Jose State victory today here at Biden Field, closing the home schedule for the Dogs. The limit for college baseball games in a season is 56, but you get an exemption if you go to Hawaii. The Dogs played 4 games in Hawaii, so their schedule is 60 games long. They have 4 more to go in Sacramento next week. Friday is an afternoon game, and we know that you want to listen to Sean Hannity, so you'll hear Hannity Friday, but Saturday we'll pick up baseball. That'll be an 11 a.m. start for the doubleheader in Sacramento, where the Hornets do not have lights, so we'll have the pregame show for you at 10:45 next Saturday. And a doubleheader Saturday, and then the regular season finale on Sunday with a 1:05 start, 12:45, the pregame, 1 week from today. Thanks so much for listening on this Mother's Day, and don't turn the radio off, because coming right up is Hometown Heroes. My guest this week is a mother herself. Fitting on Mother's Day, Edna Dave served in the Waves during World War II, has a very neat story about some of the characters she encountered, including her husband, who she didn't marry until after the war, and it was pretty dicey whether he would get back from the war after he was shot down over Europe. So some very entertaining tales on Hometown Heroes today. I hope you'll stick around for that. Thanks so much for listening on this Mother's Day. Again, to all you moms, happy Mother's Day. And keep pulling for the Bulldogs. We'll have them back on the radio next Saturday. Again, your final score this afternoon, 2-1 San Jose State. Ryan Overland, the player of the game. And one more update from Reno. It's now 12-9. Sacramento State, the Hornets with 2 runs in the top of the 8th inning, and they lead that 12-9. So that might be another hour before they're done there at Pecoli Park. Sac State trying to help the Bulldogs and keep their 2-game lead ahead of Nevada. If Nevada wins, the lead will be 1 with 1 weekend, 4 games left in the season. That's going to do it from Biden Field this afternoon. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to John Scheidemann and Wayne Brown back at Radio City. I'm Paul Leffler saying so long, and you'll hear me again in a few seconds with Hometown Heroes on News Talk 580 KMJ.
News Talk 580 KMJ presents Hometown Heroes, honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to Hometown Heroes with you each and every Sunday afternoon here on News Talk 580 KMJ. Since it is Mother's Day, I figured we should have a mother on the show. Yes, women served in World War II. It wasn't just all the guys. And we have with us in the studio today Edna Daves, who was in the Waves. And that has a pretty nice rhyme to it, although I guess at the time your name wasn't Daves.
Edna Henkel.
And you grew up here in the Valley?
Yes, I did. Down in Cuba and Cutler Narosa.
Now, Pearl Harbor Day is something that sticks in the memories of just about everyone who was alive on December 7th, 1941. Did you realize that day that you would end up in the service? Was it something that occurred to you right away when you realized that our country was at war?
Yes, it did, because I wanted to help out. I was going to college to be a teacher, but I wanted to help out, and I didn't know how I could unless I joined the service. And some recruiters came around. We were at Reilly Junior College, and some recruiters came to the college, and they were recruiting women to go into the service. So I really wanted, they impressed me so much that I really wanted to go in the Navy in the Waves. I wanted to do what I could. So I went home and I thought, well, I better ask my folks first, because that generation did, I think.
In contrast.
Yes. But anyway, I went home and my parents said, yes, Edna, as long as you don't go overseas. And of course, at that time, they were not sending women overseas. But my brother was in the service at the same time. So anyway, I went back the next day and enlisted. So a week later, I was called to go to San Francisco to be inducted into the Waves.
What was it about wearing that uniform and being in the service, being a Wave? What was it about that that intrigued you and made you want to get involved?
Really, I don't know because I have always liked the Navy. I like their songs. I like, I don't particularly like their uniforms, but I did have some relatives that were in the Navy, and they liked it a lot. Not any women. I was the only woman in my family and our whole family that was in the service.
Did any one of your friends think you were nuts for wanting to do that?
Some of them did, yes. But I told them that I wasn't happy in college anymore, and that my my fiance was joining the service, the Air Corps, so I wanted to do something too. I knew that we couldn't get married right away, so this is what I thought would be the best thing to do.
Looking back, are you glad you didn't get married right away?
No, I think we've both grown because of being in the service. We have a little more compassion for people and understanding the differences of people. I think my husband has learned that, and I know I did.
You know, a lot of people will say that some of the ladies got into the service so they could be around some of these big men in uniform. You already had the man that you wanted, and you decided to do it anyway. Was he at all jealous of some of the guys that you were going to be spending some time around or bumping into?
No, he never said anything about it. For a while, he didn't know when I went in because he was called before I was. So he was riding in a train going cross-country to Roswell, New Mexico, to one of his bases. And he opened a Popular Mechanics magazine, and here was a picture of me in the tower controlling planes. And then he knew I had joined the service.
You mean you hadn't written him a letter or anything?
No, because I didn't know where he was.
I guess it is kind of hard to write a letter to someone where you don't know where they are. So you got right to the being in the tower there. Is that something that right away that you realized you wanted to control air traffic? Or did there are lots of different things that the Waves did.
Right. I took an aeronautics class in Reedley. Because that's when I decided I wanted to go into the Waves. And so I took this aeronautics class, and I think that was one of the issues that when they decided what my job was to be, was because I'd had that experience.
But before you got to do that, you had to experience every veteran's favorite part of being in the military, whether you're a man or a woman. Boot camp was just loads of fun, wasn't it?
No. I was hoping I'd wash out, and then at the end, I was sorry I'd said it.
And was that, I know a lot of Waves had their boot camp at Hunter College?
That's right. The prestigious Hunter College.
What was that like? Did you get a taste real soon that you weren't really that important in their eyes?
That's right. But there was... Well, I don't know. There were hundreds of Waves there. And I was, because I'd had experience as a cheerleader in college and high school, I was chosen to be the attendant for the group that I was in, a squadron that I was in.
Bet you never saw that coming when you were cheerleading in high school.
Right.
This is preparing me for something big.
But anyway, yes, there were lots of different people there that you had to watch out for, and not really watch out for that. You had to show a little compassion towards their attitudes also, because you feel that your personal attitude isn't everything. There are other people with different attitudes.
What would you say was the toughest part about being in boot camp, the most challenging aspect of that?
When we had been parading all day or on parade, we'd come back to our apartment or barracks. It wasn't a barracks, it was apartments. And have dinner, take a shower, ready for bed, just exhausted. Here, there was a show that was going to be there, like Kate Smith or Bob Hope or somebody. Get dressed. You all have to go. So we had to get dressed and go to something where we would rather have gone to bed.
And I bet when you were back in Reedley or Dinuba or Cutler and someone said, hey, you can go see Kate Smith or Bob Hope whenever you want and and you don't have to worry about it, you just said, yeah, sign me up. But
yeah,
then when you actually get there, it's a little
That's a different story.
Did you find that there was a good camaraderie between the rest of the waves? Did you guys really get along? I imagine when so many women around and not so many men around, that maybe there's some little rivalries and jealousies that develop. What was it like for you?
I don't think there was. At least there wasn't in the tower. There were a lot of envious people of us in the tower because we had some privileges that the other ones did not. We were on duty. We had to be on duty at least 24 hours, not steady 24 hours, but the tower had to be manned for 24 sure. hours. So we had different shifts, like 5 to 8 the next morning, 8 to 5, and things like that. And we in the tower really got along well. There didn't seem to be any jealousy or... but. There was a little in other groups that didn't have some privileges that we did.
Well, I want to get to all your experiences with the tower, some of the special visitors that you had in the tower over the years. What if there was any pressure that you felt in those situations? We'll get to all that a little later in the show here.
Okay.
But I also want to ask you, too, if you run into someone today, if, for instance, maybe someone sees the local book, Stories of Service, Valley Veterans Remember World War II, that Janice Stevens put together. You've been a part of her class over at the Clovis Veterans Memorial District. Someone sees your picture in the tower in that book and says, you, a woman, was a World War II veteran? Do they ever give you a puzzled look? Or do you ever run into people who are surprised that there are female veterans of World War II?
No, I do not. They're surprised at the job I was doing, but not surprised that I was had been in the service.
And I guess nowadays, I mean, the military will send women just about anywhere.
Yes.
And in any kind of job. But I don't know if that many young people today really understand the role that women played in World War II. Is that something that you've always kind of taken pride in and made sure that you told people about?
Yes. I did, because I did feel that we did help, because there had been some young men in the tower before we came, and we actually replaced them.
So you did a man's job?
Yes, we did.
And did it well?
Thank you.
I wasn't there, but I'm taking your word for it. Right now, we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, more with World War II veteran Edna Dave. She was in the waves, and she ran into some interesting people, has some more very intriguing stories to tell. I hope that you'll enjoy the story of the famous face that she bumped into in the tower and what it made her face look like after he left the tower. Hopefully that'll keep you hanging around. For more of Hometown Heroes, coming right up on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Hi, this is 580 KMJ's Ruth Michaels. If your mom is anything like me, she's probably not the most high-tech person that you know. But if she's also like me, when she gets a smartphone from AT&T from you on Mother's Day, she'll wonder how she ever lived without it. AT&T is having a phone sale right now on one of their smartphones, Palm Centro. They're offering it for just $99.99. And when you buy one, you get another one free. What mom will particularly appreciate about the Palm Centro is not only will it keep her really organized, it's also really easy to use. And it has everything. A compact QWERTY keyboard, 1.3 megapixel camera with video record and playback. There's picture and video messaging, Bluetooth, and touchscreen display. You want to find out more about it? Go to att.com/wireless. Go to an AT&T store near you or call 1-866-MOBILITY. AT&T, your world delivered. Certain restrictions and other charges apply. Offer required. Requires a $100 mail-in rebate debit card, data package purchase, and two-year service agreement per phone. See store for complete details.
In a race for Fresno City Mayor, Doug Vagum is our candidate of choice. Doug Vagum, a lifelong resident of Fresno, a businessman, and a conservative. Doug Vagum is the former chairman of the Fresno County Board of Supervisors, where he served for 8 years. He knows how to balance budgets and keep local government out of debt. He's the only candidate for mayor endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. As your mayor, Doug Vagum will lead by example with vision and ethics. Doug Vagum is your candidate of choice to be the next mayor of Fresno.
I'm Doug Vagum. The city of Fresno is blessed with exceptional opportunities for growth and quality of life. However, our city is challenged by political, economic, and social problems. As your mayor, I will lead the city, bringing common sense solutions, and will be devoted to serve you by assuring that government delivers on its commitments to all of us.
Doug Vagum, the right candidate at the right time with the right experience to lead Fresno into its future. Vote for Doug Vagum to be Fresno's next mayor.
Paid for by Vagum for Mayor Committee.
There's a situation on the 110 with an 18-wheeler being pursued right now by what looks like a pack of Irish wolfhounds.
What?
That's right, Jim. It's a Petco semi heading to the spring truckload sale, and there's a very coordinated pet effort to bring this truck to a stop.
Any end in sight, Sheila?
Well, a band of tabbies have set down a spiked roadblock, so yeah, I see this resolved very shortly.
Pets love the truckload sale. Get $10 off 15-pound bags or larger of organic and ultra-mixed dog and cat food, and up to $7 off select large bags of Hill Science diet dog food at Petco, where the pets go.
I'm sitting in a new Chevy Malibu with OnStar turn-by-turn navigation, which comes standard for the first year. If I want to get somewhere, I just push the OnStar button.
OnStar.
I'd like to get to 23 Front Street.
I'll download OnStar turn-by-turn directions.
Thank you. Now, if I was in an Accord or a Camry, I'd press a button, too, for the automatic window so I could ask someone in a new Chevy Malibu for directions. OnStar is standard on 11 Chevy vehicles for the first year. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Don't forget, if there's a hometown hero in your life that you'd like to share with me, send me an email, paul@kmj580.com. Remember, you can always catch the program online, kmj580.com. Or look after the fact for that podcast. And if you miss it on a Sunday afternoon, you can catch it down the road. Also want to remind you to check out heroesofthevalley.com, the upcoming fundraiser for the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno, home of the Legion of Valor. That's coming up on May 25th. Hopefully you've heard Mayor Autry and Mayor Patterson and Inga Barks talking about it from time to time here on KMJ. And we'd love to see you there for a great cause on May 25th. For now, we continue with a young lady who was a wave during World War II. Edna Daves lives in Fresno, grew up in the Dinuba, Reedley, Cutler, Arosi area, and she's with us today talking about her experiences in World War II. She mentioned that she was a control tower operator, and I guess we need to tell everyone where that was. You weren't too far from home when you were doing that.
I was at Alameda Naval Air Station. It's right across the bay from Oakland, and It was a very large base and had many waves and sailors there.
And that's a long way from Hunter College on the East Coast.
Yes, it was.
A lot closer to home.
Yes.
Did that mean something to you? Was it nice to be
Yes,
closer?
It was, because every so often someone downstairs, which we called operations, one of the officers would have to have some flight time in, and they'd call up, anybody want to take a ride? Anybody not busy want to take a ride? So we got a lot of flying in that we liked, and a lot of times I was taken home to Fresno, and because of having them having to get extra flight time in, and it was nice.
So they say, anybody want to take a ride? And you say, well, can you drop me off in Fresno?
Yeah.
They say, sure.
That's about it.
Boy, you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
What was that like? Was it a lot to learn? Was it a lot to digest, to have all that information, to be a control tower operator? Because to me, someone who's never done that, it seems like there's a lot of inherent pressure there, that you're responsible for these planes in the air and making sure they're not going to run into each other.
That's right. There was a lot of pressure on you. And we had, I did my training at Atlanta, Georgia. We had to take tests every so often to cover the material that had been covered during the week. We had two sailors that presented the information, and also a Lieutenant J.G. And the pressure was on you because they kept telling you, if you are responsible for causing an accident, you can be held liable. Well, that didn't go over too well. That was a lot of pressure. But anyway, I still wanted to do it. It still seemed like it was interesting and something that I could do for the war effort. And also, I would learn something about it. I learned that you have to have missed my word.
That's all right.
You have to be calm. You
sure.
have to not have anything pressure you, or else you display it in your voice when you talk to the pilot.
Mm.
And it has to come over like you are flight 123.
You're supposed to be the reassuring voice on the other end of that radio
right.
communication.
Right.
Not the one who's scared, because that makes the pilot feel a little more pressure.
Right. And a lot of them were Marines that came up from San Diego that flew there, and they would practice carrier landings, because they would be on carriers when they went out to the South Pacific. And so I really enjoyed it. The pressure was hard, but I really enjoyed it. And if I had to do it over again, that's what I'd do.
And a picture of you, as you say, which is reprinted in this this book, Stories of Service, Valley Veterans Remember World War II. Maybe we'll talk a little bit later about what that was like, being in the book and doing the book signings and all that. But that same picture of you in the tower was in Popular Mechanics magazine?
Yes.
And your fiancé at the time?
He ran across it while he was going across country. Then he knew I was in the service.
And at the same time, he probably said, I wonder if other guys are seeing this picture too. Maybe I need to be closer to this young lady. She looks good in that uniform. And I understand there's one Hollywood type that he probably should have been worried about, who made a visit to your tower. Yeah. Tell us about that day. Was there a buzz before he actually showed up?
No, we knew that he had come in with the squadron, because they were going to practice carrier landings before they went out to the South Pacific. And every so often we would get a movie star or someone that was well known. And one time we had George Raft, but of course he wasn't in the service, but he came up to visit. And of course he had his guardsman with him. And that was quite an experience to talk to him. He was very nice and kind. But anyway, we knew that Tyrone Power had come in with this group. So I was on duty that night, and it was all of a sudden someone came up the flight of stairs, and I looked at him, and sure enough, it was Tyrone Power.
And you'd seen him in the movies, and
yes.
You knew who he was.
Yes, I did know him, and he was a very pleasant man, and asked about the tower, wanted to know what we did and everything. So we always made coffee, so I asked him if he'd like a cup of coffee, and he did. He accepted it. And so the next day I really had something to tell the rest of the girls, that I saw Tyrone Power and made coffee for him. And I wouldn't let anybody touch the cup for about a month. It had to be off by itself. But anyway, he had gone overseas, and some fella was coming back to Alameda, and he said, be sure and tell that cute little wave in the tower hello for me. So that's what was the story about Tyrone Power.
So you were that cute little wave in the tower.
That's what he said.
You could put a sign on your desk that said that cute little wave in the tower. I've actually interviewed other veterans who served with him overseas and knew Tyrone Power a little bit. And that's one thing that I think is really interesting, too, that I don't know if this generation today really understands, and I'll include myself in that because I'm a little bit younger. I don't know if people really realize today that everyone was involved in the war effort. Can you imagine today somebody like Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise or Leonardo DiCaprio or Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez going into the service? But that was the reality then. You had Williams and Bob Feller and the greatest athletes in the country, the movie stars. And I think that says something, too. Says something about, how do you interpret that?
I feel that they wanted to be a part of the regular group of people that were reunited in democracy and united in to do something to have the war over with. And it wasn't just all the service people, it was these entertainers also from Hollywood would come out to the bases and entertain the fellas and the women, which they did their part also. But I really feel they wanted to get away from the quote stance of Hollywood and wanted to be around natural people or normal people. Of course they were normal, but I mean the run of the
they wanted to do their part as much as everyone else was doing
right.
their part.
That's right.
And it wasn't just people in uniform or involved with the military either. I mean,
no.
I think that's one thing that strikes me the most that I think that we should be as a country today a little envious of, the way the country at that time was willing to sacrifice to a man
that's
and make
right.
those contributions. I'm sure you kept in touch with your family back home here in the Valley.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't an easy time for them, I'm sure.
No, because Mother and Dad had, my brother was in the service and he was in the Battle of the Bulge and they had quite a rough time. So Mother proudly had two stars in the window. Whenever I came home, she wanted me to wear my uniform and take me to town. I had to go to town to show my uniform and she said, "You've got to have your picture taken in your uniform, Edna." So I said, "Okay, Mom, I'll do it for you." And then after we were married, my husband and I, in uniform, had pictures taken.
You still have that uniform?
Yes, I do. I have my white one and I have my navy blue one.
All right, and I'm sure they're in tip-top shape.
Yes.
Uncle Sam would have it no other way. Well, you just mentioned your husband. After we take this commercial break, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because not only were you serving our country, your fiance, you mentioned your brother was serving, so you're worried about your brother. Then you have this guy that you hope to marry someday that has to make it back from the war in order for you to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
And you went through some pretty harrowing experiences not knowing what he was up to and if he was okay. So I want to touch on that when we come back. Edna Daves is our guest today on Mother's Day. She's a mother of two, and she's also a World War II veteran, and we'll hear more from her when Hometown Heroes continues on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Meet Connie Conway. Born in Kern County and raised in Tulare, she learned to appreciate the value of hard work. She went to San Joaquin Memorial, attended Fresno State, taught school, and started a family in Tulare. Later, Connie followed her father's footsteps and twice won election to the Tulare County Board of Supervisors. Her peers twice elected her chair of the board. Now, Connie Conway is running to represent us in the state assembly. She's been tested and proven. We can trust Connie Conway. Meet one of Connie Conway's biggest supporters, Congressman Devin Nunes.
I'm supporting Connie Conway for Assembly because I know her and trust her. She'll go to Sacramento to fight the liberals so we can drill for domestic oil, build more power plants, and lower these outrageous energy prices.
I'm a problem solver. We need more accountability in Sacramento. My priorities are jobs, water, roads, and schools. That means the common sense to lower taxes, find new energy, and focus on public safety. I'm Connie Conway, and I'd be honored to have your vote.
Paid for by Conway for Assembly.
This is Hometown Heroes. Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty on 580 KMJ.
To Hometown Heroes on this Mother's Day, and in honor of Mother's Day, our guest is a mother of two and a young woman who taught for 32 years here in the Valley and still hoping to educate a few people about what happened in World War II, how men and women were involved. You can find her story in the book Stories of Service, Valley Veterans Remember World War II. Janice Stevens is working on another book much like this that should be out soon, and she still has her class every Monday morning at the Clovis Veterans Memorial Building. You can find out more about that through Clovis Adult School if you're looking to get involved. And Edna, I believe that's something that you've been involved with. How much have you enjoyed being around other veterans and sharing your story, but also listening to all of theirs?
Oh, I've really enjoyed that, because They have so many interesting stories and unusual stories. Each one of them has a different story to give to the group.
And they're all easy to believe, right?
Well, not always. My husband has one that's not easy to believe.
Well, maybe we'll have you share a little of his story in a little bit. And speaking of your husband, you had mentioned that the two of you were engaged before he went overseas and before you were assigned to your stateside duties during the war. Now, he was a bomber pilot in a B-17.
He was a pilot.
He was a pilot in a B-17, right?
Right, yes. Right. Excuse me.
And so you had to know that that wasn't the safest job in the world. I mean, they were asked early in the war to get 25 missions before they could come home. Then they upped it to 35. And whereas a lot of the guys were averaging about 7 or 8 missions before they got shot down.
That's
so
right.
Did you see something like that in the future?
My husband was on his 9th mission when he was shot down. He was shot down with flak over Germany. And he knew that the plane was on fire. And he checked with the men back in the back of the plane to see how they were and see whether they were all right. And they said, well, there's a ball of fire back here. And so the fellas were all told to evacuate and they had their chutes on. So then after the crew in the back went out the plane, then the bombardier and navigator went out, and then the co-pilot went out, and Ed was the last one out, which is supposed to be.
That's protocol, yeah.
And so we didn't hear anything about him for about 3 weeks. We knew that he was missing in action and shot down over Germany.
And how did you find out about that? Did you get a telegram?
Yes, we did get a telegram stating that. And then we just had to wait and pray and hope that they would be all right.
Do you remember when you got that news, what it was like for you, what it felt like?
Yes, it was very depressing, very not knowing whether he's alive or dead. But I had to keep my prayers going, thinking that he would be all right and his crew.
Because you weren't married yet.
No, we weren't married.
You're counting on him coming back so you could get married.
That's right.
You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, and I'll talk to guys who are POWs and they'll say, I just knew I was going to make it. I never questioned whether I was going to make it again. Other guys will say, well, if you ever got shot at, you didn't expect to make it. You had a feeling that your number could be called at any moment. And then on the other side, people are here home waiting. Sometimes people were sure that someone was a goner and wasn't coming back. And other times I'll hear people say, you know, I just knew deep in my heart that he was alive and he was going to make it. Mm-hmm. Did you have a really strong feeling either way like that?
Yes, I did. I felt, I just, my own self felt that he was going to come back. I couldn't think of him being killed or even being a prisoner of war, which he ended up being a prisoner of war. They all bailed out, and they all got out safely, but they were picked up by German Luftwaffe and the townspeople. The townspeople were the roughest on them.
I've heard that. There are a lot of guys who are thankful to be picked up by Germans in uniform.
That's
and not
right.
townspeople.
That's right. And so when Ed went out from under the trees, where they were under trees for a while trying to hide, the Burgermeister got off his motorcycle, whatever it was, and came over with a big gun and told them that they were captured. So he was, all of them were put in like little chicken houses for a while, and no food, no water, and just left there in the dark. So then after that, they walked them down the streets, and as I say, people were rough on them. But the men, I guess, were strong enough to overcome what was happening to them.
There's no one that I have more respect for than the men who've been prisoners of war and who've endured those kinds of things. And what blows me away every time I talk to a POW is that none of them, I mean, and obviously they didn't feel sorry for themselves, otherwise they probably wouldn't have made it through.
Mm-mm.
But to this day, if you ask them how hard it was, the first response is always, well, there are other people that had it worse. I'm glad I was a POW where I was and not on the Bataan Death March.
Yes.
or not on, you know, the German Death March.
Yes.
And that's what always blows me away, that perspective. They could always look at the situation and say, as bad as this is, someone has it worse. But I imagine the position you were in wasn't easy either. You said that at first you're just told he's missing. How long was it from that point till you actually knew he was alive?
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks before I knew that he was a prisoner of war.
How long did it feel like?
Felt like years. But also, then we didn't know which prison camp he was in, and finally after a couple of weeks we were told Stalag Luft 1, which was near the Baltic Sea.
And we had a guest on this program just a couple of weeks ago, Gordon Redfelt, who was in Stalag Luft 1, and I know half a dozen other people here in the valley who were in that same prison camp, which continually blows me away, and it's really impressive, the math of that and how it worked out. So were you eventually able to communicate with him at all before he was liberated?
I began to get letters from him, and so then I knew his address, but you had to be so careful what you put in your letter. And I did correspond with him. He did get 3 letters of mine. And my sister's husband was overseas. He was not a pilot or anything, but he was overseas. And so she and I had an apartment in Alameda after a while, and we decided to send a package to her husband and Ed, my fiance, and we took all that. We bought a big jar of cherries with cherry juice in it. We poured out the cherry juice and poured liquor in the bottle with the cherries. But they never did get them. Someone else had a merry good time.
It was intercepted, surprisingly enough.
It was intercepted, right.
Well, given what the POW diet was there at Stalag Luft 1, I'm sure that would have been a very welcome addition had it made it through.
Yes.
And it occurs to me that with everything he went through there as a POW, the things that he had to eat that would turn a lot of our stomachs and the amount of hardships that he had to endure.
Right.
He probably could not let you get away with complaining about anything when you were married for more than 60 years. Was that something where you could never complain about much because you knew what he had been through?
No, he didn't take that attitude. he knew that being in the tower, because after he got out of the service and came up to the tower and watched the waves perform what they are supposed to do, he realized that there was a lot of stress and tension in landing those planes, because we had so many runways, and to make sure that they would land all on the same runways and when they were supposed to. But no, he didn't say anything about me complaining.
Maybe you missed an opportunity there.
Yes.
To let you get away with it.
Maybe so.
Well, I don't want to gloss over either the reunion when you guys got back together. So let me take our final commercial break here. And then when we come down the home stretch with Edna Daves, we'll hear about that moment when, after being separated for 3 years and not knowing if he was going to live or not, knowing he was a prisoner of war, she finally got to see her fiancé again and then make him her husband, and they've been married ever since. So we'll hear exactly how all of that occurred way back in 1945 when Hometown Heroes continues here on News Talk 580 KMJ.
I have cashalangiophobia, or fear of money just sitting there. When Bank of the West offered Best of the West checking, I knew I'd be okay. With it, I earn interest, with no monthly service charge. That's great for my lunar monetary phobia, fear of monthly fees.
Open Best of the West checking with direct deposit today at Bank of the West. You'll earn 2.00 annual percentage yield guaranteed to October 31st, 2008 with no minimum balance required. Add a debit card and you'll also get a free Best of the West Discovery Guide from the creators of Sunset Magazine. Plus, you could win one of five fabulous getaways.
That'll help my not-at-lastia phobia.
Huh?
Fear of traveling without a guidebook.
Bank of the West, member FDIC. Limited time offer. Conditions and restrictions apply. Sweepstakes ends on June 30th, 2008. No purchase or account necessary to enter. Sweepstakes not available in all states and some restrictions apply. See branch or visit bankofthewest.com/bestofthewest for official rules and details, including prize values and estimated odds of winning. Travel must be completed by May 31st, 2009. Void where prohibited.
The all-new Keller Motors in Hanford presents its all-new Budget Boulevard. It's a block-long, two-sided row of spectacular savings. This week, we're featuring over 70 brand-new 07 Chevrolet, Cadillac, Pontiac, Buick, and GMC vehicles. If you're a buyer who wants a new but drastically discounted car, truck, or SUV, and you don't mind if it's from the previous model year, well, Budget Boulevard's for you. There's a new 07 Chevy 2500 4x4 Crew Cab Diesel. Tricked out, $9,500 off MSRP. A new 07 Pontiac Solstice GXP, nearly $3,000 off MSRP. A new 07 Chevrolet 1500 Crew Cab LT, $6,000 under MSRP. Scroll down Budget Boulevard to find what we like to call
a Keller deal.
Looking for fuel efficiency? Keller Motors New Hanford offers 12 GM models that deliver 30 miles per gallon or better, including the new Chevy Avail. Keller Motors, the largest all-in-one GM dealership on the West Coast, Highway 198 and 11th in Hanford, now open every Sunday.
On the front line of freedom, you're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and Happy Mother's Day to all you moms listening to the program today. It's been my privilege to share this time with a mom in her own right. So Happy Mother's Day to you, Edna. Thanks so much for being here today. And I hope that your kids make it a special Mother's Day for you. I don't know if any day has ever been as special for you as a day back in 1945 when you finally got to see that strapping pilot again, although he probably didn't look quite the same as when you last saw him.
No.
Tell us when you first found out that your husband's POW camp in Germany near the Baltic Sea, Stalag Luft 1, when did you find out that they'd been liberated and that he was going to make it home?
We actually did not ever find out that they had been liberated. We found out when he got home was the time we knew. I can remember that time. I was in the tower, and one of the operations officers downstairs said, "Edna, come downstairs. We have a person here that would like to see you." So I went down there. My mouth was wide open. I could not believe that here was my fiancé standing there, free, about 40 pounds lighter, and looking at me. And, of course, there were miles of kisses that day because we were both so happy to see each other. And so that was when he had been released. Well, he wasn't released. The Russians came in and released them. But he and another fella walked out when the Russians came because it was the base was just getting to be a mess. So this is an experience. Ed and this other fella were walking out, and they saw that Ed's shoes had completely worn down. So he went into this big building. It was dark. He went in this building, and the room was supposed to be full of shoes. So he went in. He grabbed two shoes, and they happened to be a pair, and they were German flying boots. And to this day, he still has those flying boots. He brought them home from Germany.
So he left on his own before the rest of them were actually taken out by American forces, Allied forces?
Yes.
That sounds a little risky.
Yes, it was a little risky. He realized it, but he was so anxious to get away from that prison camp that he would probably try anything. And the Russians would come and take over a house, and the people had to all scatter out and had to give the beds to the prisoners of war. And Ed said he and the fellows did not want to take over. They wanted let the women and men still stay in their own beds. But he said that they prevented many of the women from being raped by hiding them in closets.
Well, I know there was a lot of concern at the time from the Allied POWs who were in that camp about the Russians being the ones to liberate the camp. And I've even read some stories about Hub Zemke, the P-47 ace, who ended up kind of brokering a deal to make sure that the American POWs there would be safe, that would be treated okay, and that they wouldn't have to deal too much with the Russians.
Right.
Looks like Ed took matters into his own hands, and it worked out all right. So here you are, still back in the Bay Area, and I bet you went to bed the night before praying, keep Ed safe wherever he is, bring him back home to me someday.
Yes.
You had no idea that prayer was going to be answered the next day.
No, that was quite an experience. So then we decided to get married, and my mother was going to put on the wedding down at their place. They had some land and a big backyard. So we were married down in Arosa, California, at the Presbyterian church that we attended. And some of the waves from the tower were flown down to Fresno to be in our wedding, which I was very thrilled about. And then the officers came back at that night and picked them up and took them back.
We'll let you have a little fun, but not that much fun.
But anyway, it was quite an experience. We went to Lake Tahoe for our honeymoon, and also down in L.A. and visited Earl Carroll's. And so then, since I was married to an ex-prisoner of war, I could get out of the service. I was a specialist Y first class, and they told me if I would stay in 2 years, I could become a chief. But that didn't have much influence on me because I wanted to be married and live a life with my husband.
And I imagine it was going to be a big enough job to try to put those 40 pounds back on him after he lost all that weight as a POW.
The only thing is, it put on me, too.
It's easy to say no to good cooking, even if it's for someone else. So you got out, but he had to stay in for a couple more years.
He volunteered to stay in for a couple of more years. He loved to fly. Ever since he was a little boy, he used to tell his parents, someday I'm going to fly, someday I'm going to fly. And to this day, he would love to fly. But my brother had a Cessna, and he and my brother and Ed would fly over the coast and go in, do some golfing, and then they'd fly back. And Ed did most of the flying then. But the biggest thrill, I think, that he's had since we were married, besides being married, I'm saying, they had some B-17s come into Gilroy. I think it was Gilroy. Watsonville.
Mm-hmm.
And for a price, they could fly in this B-17. Well, the kids and I decided to give that to him for his birthday present.
Mm.
And he got to sit up with the pilots, which he was just thrilled to death. And they flew all over the valley. And when it came out, we had decided to make a party of it, and so his sister came down for it, and our daughter and son, and our daughter's husband. And so we all went over in the van and went over to Watsonville so he could fly in the, be a passenger in the airplane. But when they all got out of the plane, this one girl that his uncle, no, her father had been a pilot in World War II. And so she got to know Ed in the plane. And when they came out together, and everybody clapped and clapped for him. And Ed was excited, and so was this girl.
You mean he didn't commandeer the B-17 while they were up there?
He would have liked to. He would have liked it. But when after the war, when he was still in the service, he taught ground officers to fly in San Marcos, Texas. And he was flight commander. And so we stayed in for 2 years. He was transferred then to Mather Field and then to Ellington Field in Houston. So we spent most of the time in Texas. But I enjoyed it, and he enjoyed it. We met some wonderful people.
And I know that he's proud of you, and I'm sure he's going to remind you of that for Mother's Day. Sounds like you're pretty proud of him, too.
Yes, I am. Really proud. We've been married 63 years.
What does it mean to you that he was a prisoner of war? And does that maybe give you a little more reason to let everybody else know, if they haven't figured it out already, what the price of freedom really is?
Yes. I admire him for what he did and what he stood for and what he was willing to be in prison camp, even though he didn't want it and I didn't want it. But it showed how much he cared for the United States and the freedom of America.
And I understand that the two of you had a chance decades later, I mean 45 years later, to go back to that prison camp, to Stalag Luft I in Germany, with other veterans, other POWs and their families who had been there. What was that experience like?
It was quite an experience. We had never met this couple that we know now that live in Los Banos, but right now they're living in Fairwinds with us. And we became acquainted with them while we were visiting the camp.
And that's Darwin and Marge Nelson, who I've known my entire life because they lived across the street from my grandparents.
That's right.
It is a bit of a small world, isn't it?
It is. And so many things are common, like Darwin was a B-17 pilot and was in the same prison camp with Ed. And Darwin was and Ed were both B-17 pilots. Marge was in the Waves, like I was. And
you both had to wait till after the war to get married.
That's right. We were married the same month in July. And Marge's birthday is one day before Ed's. And now we're all four in Fairwinds, eating together and reminiscing. And so it's a small world. And Ed got a book from our daughter for Christmas. It's called The Wars, and it's quite a book. We haven't read it yet, but then we ordered one, and we thought, why have two books? So Ed says, let's give one to Darwin. So we did, and Darwin started reading the front of the book, and here his name was in it, and we didn't know it.
It really is a small world. Yes. Unfortunately, this show feels small sometimes, too, because we're just about out of time. Got about 20 seconds left here. So, Ed and I just want to thank you again for your service to our country, for being here today. Happy Mother's Day, and keep taking care of that ex-POW of yours.
Thank you very much.
Edna Daves was our guest today. We'll be back with another program next week. Don't forget to go to KMJ580.com. You can listen anytime. Thanks for listening today on News Talk 580 KMJ.
I'm Jim Winton.
And I'm Michael Winton. At Winton's Pharmacies, we are celebrating 75 years of free delivery to your home or office.
That's right, Michael. 75 years of free delivery to your home or office.
Why stand in line and wait for your prescriptions when they can be delivered to your home or office?
Call Winton's Vista Pharmacy at Tulare and Cedar across from Roosevelt High School.
Or Winton's Professional Pharmacy at Herndon in Millbrook, east of St. Agnes Hospital.
See us on the internet at wintonsrx.com. Happy birthday, Michael.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Winton's Pharmacies, we deliver.
Winton's, a good neighbor pharmacy.
When it comes to making things happen on the gridiron, the Bulldogs are exciting and getting better all the time. You know what? So is Table Mountain Casino, now with more room to play, more ways to win, more top-name entertainment than ever before. From hot slots to hot performers, there's no place better than Table Mountain Casino. Just a few minutes north on Bryant. Exciting, you bet.
I have cash loungeophobia, or fear of money just sitting there. When Bank of the West offered Best of the West checking, I knew I'd be okay. With it, I earn interest, with no monthly service charge. That's great for my lunar monetary phobia, fear of monthly fees.
Open Best of the West checking with direct deposit today at Bank of the West. You'll earn 2.00 annual percentage yield guaranteed to October 31st, 2008 with no minimum balance required. Add a debit card and you'll also get a free Best of the West discovery guide from the creators of Sunset Magazine. Plus, you could win one of five fabulous getaways.
That'll help my not-at-lastia phobia.
Huh?
Fear of traveling without a guidebook.
Bank of the West, member FDIC. Limited time offer. Conditions and restrictions apply. Sweepstakes ends on June 30th, 2008. No purchase or account necessary to enter. Sweepstakes not available in all states and some restrictions apply. See branch or visit bankofthewest.com/bestofthewest for official rules and details, including prize values and estimated odds of winning. Travel must be completed by May 31st.